In this episode, Ryan and I discuss bandwidth and its value, marginal business practices, and a case study in refugee rescue. It went long and in-depth, and we had fun. Hope you enjoy listening. Back to the book. In my, you know, foreword. Now I've thought about it, and you know, and he writes a little bit about me in the book, and he sent that to me, you know, and you know, brought a tear to my eye. Have you ever talked about what you wrote in your book about me? What do you call that section of the book?
The acknowledgments?
Yeah, the acknowledgments.
I read the acknowledgment at the Banking with Life live event.
Okay.
Last year or year before? But I think that's...
Well, I hope it's just last year, because if it was a year before, then we've exceeded 8 or 9 months. You know, we're going to 24 months.
Well, no, it was before. It was just from the acknowledgments. Like, it was just my way of introducing you.
Okay.
So wherever that was, I don't, you know.
So I won't get into it. But he referenced a character in a series on Netflix. All right.
And I don't think it's Netflix. It's Yellowstone, but it's on, I think, Paramount or something.
Okay, so he referenced a character in Yellowstone.
John Dutton. Come on.
I don't watch TV, you know, but let me say this. I love this because I think along about January or maybe even December, my lovely wife, Jenna, and I, we sat down and watched the series, Peaky Blinders, right? And we loved it. And the whole time my wife's looking at me, it's like, my God, you really are Irish. I understand the Irish a lot. I understand the Irish in you. And I'm like, what? I'm not a gangster, right? Okay. Well, we had so much fun doing that, you know, just spending that time together and then Ryan mentions it's Yellowstone. I don't know what that is. I don't watch TV, right? So since he referenced that in the acknowledgement, I had to go and watch Yellowstone to get a reference point, right, to help me finish my acknowledgement, okay? Well, if you're going to watch Yellowstone, there are two precursors to Yellowstone, 1888, 1923. So, you know, I don't like starting at the end. And so we started with the prequels, right, to Yellowstone.
Look at this so elaborate explanation for how long that forward took.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And some of y'all have asked about pre-sale. I guess at some point it'll be up for pre-sale. Release date, I don't know. Let's think summer-ish, 2024.
Just have it out by, you know, October, Banking with Life event, okay?
Oh, what a good... Oh,
what a
good idea.
You're welcome.
Okay. I mean, it'll be this year, so it'll come at some point. So that's exciting. And then I'm also, I had mentioned about the possibility of doing a different, because we talked about this. We put a lot out for free.
Yeah, 500 on.
Put a lot out for free.
That I'm aware of. And yeah. Nine. How long is your series?
8 hours. I mean, consecutive, but.
If
you make the price zero, people can get the impression that what they're paying is what it's worth. Now, I'm not saying that everybody thinks that way. Probably only a minority do. A lot of people watch what we talk about, now it's freely available. We get that the corporations are labeling and data tracking you, and we pay that way. I get it. I know. But no monetary price on it. And my view had been that by setting the price to zero, basically, by putting things on publicly available platforms, you disseminate the information as widely as possible, and that this would help the most people.
Aren't you benevolent?
And that sounds really good, right? Yep. Yeah. Here's the problem. That little minority of tire-kicking, validation-seeking, disingenuous, inauthentic types who want to just suck time, effort, and energy out of your life, they see somebody who appears to be knowledgeable, who appears to know what they're talking about, and they see that this, what they're putting out is available at a price of zero, and they might get, and in my experience, they do get the impression that that's what that information's worth. So that perception, that misperception combined with their disingenuous motivations produces a sense of entitlement. And so those people get in touch. They submit the contact form through the website, and they may have a pretty solid grasp on some of the terminology. And they might know and may be trying to blow smoke up your ass and do all the flattery, say all the right words in order that you might be willing to give them the attention that they're seeking so that they can wrestle out of you that validation or confirmation of what they believe. Again, this isn't everybody. It's a small minority, but they are irate. And they have a lot of energy. And here's the problem. The bandwidth online, we can say for the sake of argument, is infinite and unlimited. Yep, you can put something on out there for free, and it's widely available, be there forever. It's evergreen, whatever. All that is true. What's not true is that my own personal or that James's own personal bandwidth is unlimited. It's not. We have a very, very limited bandwidth, and it's limited by our opportunity cost, by other things that we do with both with clients, with current clients, and other activities. So I don't have unlimited resources to spend with everybody. Now, when those people who are motivated, that angry, irate minority who's wants to get one over. They want to remind me that Dave Ramsey has said that you can get a double-digit annualized rate of return in the stock market every year. And they want to argue and fight about policy loan interest rates or how they can get an auto loan at 2%, but policy loans are at 5, and 5 is greater than 2, so the policy loan must be more expensive. Okay. That whole type of argument.
I love the direct and non-direct recognition, the duration of the premium on illustrations, the structure of premium on illustrations. And then you have this minority group that you're speaking of that exists in the life insurance agent world and the financial guru world as well.
Yeah.
Right.
But for individual consumers. For individual potential clients, this minority of clients, the problem is they are a complete time, effort, and energy just draining force. Right? A week ago, James said, hey, might be a good idea to take a week off and attend to some other stuff. He said it very nicely, and he was so right. And the last time you saw me on the part one, Barbarians at the Gate, and I was in the thick of that feeling like I was being dragged down by this validation seeking feeling that I'm being put on the defensive, having to justify things. It's very destructive. And here's the lesson I learned. The problem is that the price was zero. The problem was that I indulged the perception that I've got endless resources, time, effort, and energy to give to all individual people. And the truth of the matter is I don't. In fact, I don't even have the interest to do that, right? What I feel called upon, and I've got a spiritual background, you don't have to agree with that or not. What I feel called upon to do is to attend to those people who are willing to do the work, who are willing to allow this paradigm shift, who are willing to reconsider how they operate financially, maybe it's not reconsidering, maybe it's considering for the first time in a systematic fashion, right? Those are my people. And this is why sometimes people tell me, oh, IBC, I don't have prior financial experience. I'm like, praise Jesus. You don't have prior financial experience. Good, there's less to unlearn, right? Part of me that really bothers me is this, making you feel stupid because you don't have the letters after your name. You don't have the special financial hidden, Pharisee type wisdom that the priests on Wall Street have. So you need to sit down, shut up, and accept the message. That part pisses me off. Right? So no, don't feel belittled. Don't feel coward, like you've been backed into a corner by that. No, no, that's all an illusion. All that fear, all that faux authority peacock posturing is an illusion. The emperor has no clothes. They have no idea most of the time what they're talking about. So not having been steeped, dipped, tarred, and feathered in those prior misconceptions is actually a good thing. And those are the people who I should be spending time with, who I love to spend time with. And I disserve those people. Though people who are most worthy, most deserving, are the most disserved when I allow myself to be dragged down by the validation seeking and the negativity. All right. And so, we're going to stop indulging that. For me, that will mean, and I think I've decided on the platform, we're going to use Locals.
Okay.
L-O-C-A, like an alternative to Patreon, owned by Rumble, which is the free speech video alternative to YouTube.
Owned by the BBC.
So it'll be called the Private Seminar, because it's going to be a private seminar. And there will be most likely things like weekly office hours, or what is basically a live stream for members. Other things, I plan to do a review of one of my own policies. You know, there are things, look, we're very forward, direct, and transparent on this podcast as far as publicly available media go. And in the IBC space, in my opinion, we're the most direct, bold, and transparent. But even then, like stuff I'd like to get to at some point today, there are things that I want to teach that are not exactly a fit for, say, this show, or really for public consumption generally, because it's not for everybody. Because there are people, don't throw pearls before swine. And I'm not saying I'm all that, and I'm not saying I'm surrounded by farm animals, but there's some of them out there, and they tend to be drawn for some reason. And look, it's not right, it's not wrong, it's, again, not for me. They need to move on,
if I can interject without you losing your train of thought, we look at them, we talk about them, we don't normally, talk about them. I do sometimes on the Q&A comments, right? But this is fitting that bill, the comment that you read on Barbarians at the Gate. I just listened to these two arrogant individuals drop truth bombs, and then he went on to be very complimentary, hence early on, Ryan's showing his appreciation for the complimentary interactions. I mean, that was one of them, and I loved it. It was like, I'm listening, and can you pull that up?
I will, yeah.
Because it was, Brian's like, did you see this? I'm like, yeah, I released it. It's like, and I don't know who he is, but I appreciate everyone, and I know Ryan does as well on the comments, good, bad, or indifferent.
There will be other material too, as I'm pulling up this comment you wanted to see. Yeah, so S-I-U-L-A-N-A-I-N-A-D. I'm sorry. There's 0% chance of me pronouncing that correctly. I just listened to these two arrogant individuals dropping truth bombs left and right. In my estimation, I have over 1,200 hours of studying by myself since 2009 when I discovered Nelson's book. I got Pirates of Manhattan, shout out Barry Dyke, and other quote-unquote old-school life insurance heroes books to study their thinking in 2015. These podcasts are heaven sent. I listen to you two over and over because I don't care if I have to listen to the same thing again. That's good. Because right there in the middle, I discover something new. Ryan mentions letting go of the outcome, and that is the key. Your job is to preach. Your job is to preach. If they want to get saved, that is up to them. Thank you both for all your efforts. Don't change a thing. Thank you for that. That's what you're...
Absolutely. So, I mean, you're just right in that vein, you arrogant individual. Preach, drop some, continue dropping truth bombs.
And there will be other material, too, that on this Locals platform, this private seminar, that is not, you know, to be found in this book, but it's stuff that I think's interesting.
Yep.
You know, things like what could be the role of an irrevocable charitable trust known as a private family foundation? What's possible there? Why might one consider that? You know, that's not IBC specifically. Now, I think there are principles embodied in that that are a natural extension, but, you know, it's a separate thing. So there's stuff like that. Austrian textbooks. Y'all have heard me talk on here before. I think these Austrians who think that, you know, if you make the money, this digital thing, the source of which is anonymous, that that's going to solve the monetary problem. No, that's no. Gold, the gold standard literally was insufficient to prevent this massive monetary counterfeiting. All it took was time and the allocation of legal authority, monopoly privilege to counterfeit to special politically connected players. The problem of monetary policy in the business cycle is not the physicality of the money. It's the legal authority to counterfeit. That's the problem. Okay. And this is just one example. I have a pretty substantial, I've heard zero people say that. So I have pretty big disagreements with some positions that Austrians might hold. There are authors who I do very much like, Peter Klein at Baylor, Ed Braun, B-R-A-U-N at some school in Germany that I can't pronounce. Others who I feel are neglected, whose work I really like, that I'd like to talk about and bring to people's attention and demonstrate that this, I just can't, this idea bothers me so much, this perception that, you know, you're too stupid to understand the difficult stuff. No. Almost always it's the failure of the person who is pretending to be the authority cannot explain well enough because they don't understand well enough for you to get it. But that does not mean that you're incapable or unable. Anyway, I think there are some things there that are neglected that I'd like to explain further, more in depth, maybe do some interviews, maybe talk to some clients, maybe talk to some other agents I'd like. I'd love to talk with Barry Dyke. I'd love to talk to Doug Jones and others, you know. So that kind of stuff, look, we can disagree. The price ain't going to be zero. That's where I've
come. Well, how harsh are you going to punish all these people for the sake of that, you know, narrow group that is really, you know, edgy and chatty and energetic in their negativity?
Yeah, let's get it out there now. I think the price is going to be legitimate. You know, I've thought about, because here's another problem. People who charge for stuff like this on a subscription basis typically have very little in the way of an explanation or a rationale for why they charge what they charge.
Yeah, they just allow big round numbers.
Here's a number.
Obviously, people pay it.
Or pick one, you know.
And then beat you to death selling it, trying to sell it to you.
And immediately, I love this, where people's minds go is, oh, we're going to calculate the revenue. What's the revenue? You know, I multiply the unit price times the number of purchasers, and what's that going to be, and how many people are going to fall out over time? No. Take all that, set it all aside. It that view of trying to, this outcome-oriented view of trying to optimize and calibrate around the future presumes first that the individual knows what's best and misunderstands the value of setting a price, of price as a sorting mechanism. Look, there is value in having stuff available for free, to have a lot of stuff available for free so that people who want it can find it.
Yep.
But we can't continue to indulge the impression that because all of this material is out there for free, that all of it and that our own personal and professional advisory time is also freely abundant. So there's got to be a price. There has to be a sorting mechanism. And so I think the price is going to be legitimate, and again, it's not for everybody. So,
and yeah, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. You don't have to come up with a number.
Oh yeah, no. But I thought for a while, I think 50 a month, and again, a nice, I like round numbers. So this $47.98 or free except you pay shipping and handling, or it's free, but we're going to sell every data point about you to anybody who will buy it.
There's a $3,500 right? sign up cost.
Yeah. Yeah.
$35,000. The ongoing is $50,000 if you pay annually. If you don't pay annually, we'll finance it for $60,000 for right. the year.
Look, there's material on there. Like, I don't know, what's the value of going through a policy that I myself own or that I myself might buy, or of explaining to people how I understand the role of a private family foundation, or why I think that all these silly ideas about, oh, I can't participate at a foreclosure auction because I don't have enough money, or I can't have a charitable entity because I don't have enough money. You know, what's the value of demolishing those bad ideas? I don't know. You tell me. Is it less than $50 a month? I don't know. But the price needs to be enough to make it too burdensome for the people who are undeserving of the attention. So what does that number need to be? I don't know. It needs to be, in some sense,
well, people
it will
looking
correlate
for free
with,
don't want to pay anything. So it's going to weed them out immediately.
Yeah. Boom, done. And then the there's some sense in which the price must correlate with the magnitude of the noise. It's got to be high enough, kind of like a, I'm going to screw up the AV term, but it's like a compressor or an equalizer, like to make sure your voice doesn't peak when you reach a certain threshold. It's called something. A limiter. Thank you. It's kind of like a limiter, right? Where if the noise is reaching a certain decibel, we got to set the price a bit above that so that all of it becomes silent.
Oh, the sound of silence.
And then you open up something like a community. And trust me with the special buzzwords.
Where they can collaborate.
OMG. Okay, no. All I'm saying.
Wait, are your guests going to be these people that come in that have a product to sell? The people, your people?
Oh, yeah, the cross promotion. No, none of that. And by the way, nothing to make it easy on you either. What? Not artificially so. There's these there's groups out there. You know, you can join their subscription platform and they're going to make it easy for you. They're going to tell you how to buy the real estate to, you know, create the net rate of return. That's a number that's bigger than the cost of capital. And I'm not talking about that. Okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about more and even deeper type of material that we would discuss here, that I might like to discuss here, and the stuff that I'd like to discuss that isn't, for which this isn't the perfect venue.
It's really getting into this, you know, and I'm not trying to throw you off track at all, but it really gets into the stuff that you and I have had in-depth conversations about, right? What in-depth Austrian perspective that you have, in-depth, like it's not, I mean, it's just not anywhere spoken in public.
Right.
I mean, the conversation that we have behind, it's not public. The things that you've done within the Austrian School are not public. The things that you're doing in real estate are not, I mean, you don't talk. It's just not shared anywhere publicly. And when people, in my opinion, that love you and want to know you, it's like, yeah, whatever the cost is, the cost. And it's like such a deal, whatever the price
right.
is.
And this isn't going anywhere. You know, there's still going to be stuff for people who want to pay nothing. That's not going anywhere. But there will be the establishment of this, what I'm basically thinking of as a kind of a walled garden, as we mentioned, Barbarians at the Gate, like just a space set aside. And then if the price point is too high, hey, that's okay. Look, nobody has to join. Zero people have to join. This is not, I know it's, and it cannot be fathomed, right? The people just can't believe this, that it's not about optimizing marginal revenue. look, the fact is I think differently. I'm thinking about building a body of work over time. And I don't want to put that type of stuff all the time out there in the street, as it were. I don't, and I won't. And I think that's going to help me to better serve those who most want the service. And
and the education.
So we're going to do that.
I mean, because it's educational. So I appreciate you sharing that, and I know the listeners do as well. You know, where my mind is, what you know I'm going to do in within Infinite Bank, or not within Infinite Banking, but within Banking with Life is, you know, you talk about the bandwidth. You know, we're all limited in the amount of time that we have, right? There's no question about that. And the more time you spend with people that just want to beat you down and challenge you and debate you, which I believe their debate is legitimate and has its proper place in understanding and learning, no question. How about a debate between Ryan and I? He's an educated, very experienced debater, right? Oh, I'm not.
I know where this is a good.
All right. So, I mean, but we've talked about a tremendous amount of things that some of it comes to fruition, you know, here, and some of it doesn't comes to fruition elsewhere. But speaking to the bandwidth, the bandwidth is limited. The amount of time you don't have, but you wish you did have to spend with clients and the people that are really seeking the truth, not necessarily the challenge for the sake of challenging or for the sake of, you know, supporting their own preconceived ideas and notions, right? So I believe that debate is a fabulous thing, okay? Mm-hmm. But with the limited bandwidth, being able to go deeper into topics and subjects, having guests that come on, and I've had, I don't know how many, over 30 guests that are client only. Where else can you go get that, putting it out there for free? There are some things that they can't disclose. There are things that they can't talk about because it's public.
Right.
So putting that
in. The audience must be filtered. It must be selected.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, where we have, you know, 500 videos that and maybe there are 30 shorts or 40 shorts, and there's only 50 either in or in production or being produced or just waiting to be added to the client only section.
Talk about imbalance.
Terrible. No, it's like, so I'm guilty.
At least level it out. You know?
I mean, I'm guilty of,
yeah,
you know, throwing pearl before swine. I don't care. I mean, that's my terminology. It's biblical. It's my opinion. Now, I'm not saying everybody that's listening is swine. Of course not. I mean, the reason I get up and show up every day is because, you know, I love you. I want you to learn. I want you to understand. I want you to be aware of the infinite banking concept. I want you to be aware that you can become your own banker and what it means to you and your family and your future, you know, generations. Mm-hmm. So, but it can go so much deeper, right? But it does have to be filtered. There is a limited bandwidth. So how do you really address that? Well, you put barriers up. You know, that's nothing new. You have barriers in your life. You know, you have boundaries in your life, right? We've structure. Done that before. You know, I don't know of anyone in the infinite banking footprint that required somebody to give their financials to go beyond a 20-minute conversation. I don't know of anyone who did that. Mm. You know, and I'm not saying that I was the first one. I just don't know of anyone who required that, right? Well, that was a wall to keep out people that just want to beat you to death and debate you to support their preconceived ideas that you don't agree with.
Right.
And they're not going to support under any circumstances, whether it's an hour phone call or a 10-hour phone call or a 10-hour presentation. It ain't going to happen, right? Okay. So the client-only section for us, and we're already working on it, a mini-series, not to compete or replace or anything. It's just additional material that is beneficial for the individual who is genuinely interested in learning the infinite banking concept beyond all of this clickbaity funnel, beautifully written and presented presentations that are nothing more generally than what they've heard from the last 5 or 10 years.
Repackaged.
Absolutely. Yeah. But very convincing, right? And then there is a result to that, which we're eventually going to get to an example of the result of that kind of marketing and that kind of thinking. Yeah. Okay. So we this week we did in my office, and Ryan was included, the alpha test of live streaming. We're so excited. These young men here that do the AV in this office are incredibly talented. And I mean, they're like, I could pull the curtain back to show our clients and the people that are in the client only section. That's where I'm starting. Right. What these guys do and what they're able and capable of doing, that's just an example. My office, you know, there's 11 people in this office that get up every day, that show up. They all overwork. They're all overpaid to provide service to our clients, right? And then to have a resource, and that's really all it is, in my opinion, an educational resource for people that are learning, actually applying, actually doing the going through the process of becoming your own bank. And it is a process, you know, going from start to finish, all of the challenges that we all have. You know, I was speaking to a young man earlier this week, and he was saying, you know, the education, we attended an event, you know, several weeks back, and there's a lot of new people there, and he was one of them. And he was like, you know, James, there are some things there that the new person doesn't need to hear, you know, because they're so new. And I agree with that. Right. And to the extent in which I'm tying it in here, there are some things that we should hear if we're practicing. You're paying $10,000, $100,000, $500,000 in premium. And I don't care what the amount is. It could be $250 a month. You've got to start where you're at. Well, what does that mean? You know, how can you flesh that out? James, you continually say, you know, properly structured. And everybody else in the Infinite Banking Footprint talks about properly structured. And they've all got their training programs of how to structure a properly structured What does that mean? You know, I don't have the desire or the ability to go in depth further than I have gone in depth on what properly structured means. You know, when you say a skinny-based policy, why do you say that? You know, why do you say that? Why are you so adamant against these Frankenstein policies? Why are you even using that terminology of a Frankenstein policy? There are reasons, and then you can go into depth of why there are reasons. You know, like the idea of you doing just a section, a production, material, spending time, going through a policy of your policy, why you did it that way. And the in-depth behind that is invaluable to me, and it's not to be devalued to the point that any Joe Schmo that can spell IBC gets to the benefit and the privilege of that exposure to that, right? Having guests on, like, you know, we've had a lot of guests on, you mentioned having a guest on that can go deeper, that can say things that are not going out to the general public. They can go deeper. I mean, there's a tremendous value in there. I've got, you know, I have an office in the back, and we got a lovely office here. Had some clients stop in today too. I'll bring you up to that. Yesterday. Oh. I've moved my office to our conference room. I've got a 12-foot conference table in there full of material that needs to be produced and released. Man, I'm having birthdays while we're here. I'm aging while I'm talking. Talk about a limited bandwidth. Now, I get up and work out too, so I'm not trying to graduate early at all. I'm just saying, I want to get to that. I don't have the bandwidth to get. And when I get to that, it's going to wind up in books. I have two books inside of me that I should have already written, but I haven't, you know, for the bandwidth and whatever. I have a video, like a documentary style video. I've done Banking with Life, and then there should be a Banking with Life 2 and possibly even a Banking with Life 3. You know, there's a lot of worthy work to do other than just, you know, sitting down with Mr. Griggs every day and producing what I feel to be legitimate educational material, right? Thought-provoking for you to think beyond these flashy presentations, thinking beyond the numbers that I promise you we're going to get to them, and I'm not even trying to do a cliffhanger, but when the cameras finally stop, whether it's one part, two parts, or three parts, in totality, it'll all make sense what we've set up to this point and beyond, okay?
They know that.
Okay. The idea, everybody talks about tax-free income, and then they blow up all these beautiful illustrations or whatever machinations that are used to present the image in the mind of the consumer. What does that mean? What does that look like? Is there a right way to do that? Is there a wrong way to do that? And speaking earlier to Ryan, you know, who am I to say what's right or wrong? Well, you know, I have my basic philosophy, and I don't mind using the terminology what's right and what's wrong, but why? going beyond that and why. And I'm not paid to educate, you know, agents. God love them, but, you know, you got to be out. You better figure it out or you should go out of business. Oh, my gosh. Now we're talking about the true, a true value of capitalism. So what we're going to do, we're starting with the client only and the live streaming. You know, and like I said, we're doing alpha tests. We've got several beta tests to do. We're geared up and they're ready to go, right? And we're going to start. That's at no cost. It's not going to be at no cost, you know, forever at all.
Let's make a distinction, right? You're talking about providing ongoing resources to clients who come to you to start or continue IBC, who are purchasing whole life insurance policies designed for the infinite banking concept. That's, and I'm very excited about all of that as well. Then there is also, which is different, this, what I'm talking about, this locals thing, this private seminar, which it will be subscription based, whether you're a client or not. It's there's a price on it that is not ongoing client service. I have my own practices with clients to provide ongoing service. I do like the idea of live streaming to provide service to clients, especially, look, if you couldn't tell, he's a little older than I am. The scale, the number of clients is a little bigger, right? The and I think that's a very efficient way to properly and thoroughly provide ongoing client service as a component of an ongoing service strategy. And I'm sure at some point I'll do that too. But I do want to distinguish between the client ongoing provision of client service and mechanisms we might use for that and what I've mentioned first, which was this locals, this private seminar type thing that I'm also going to do. They are separate. And I know this confuses people. God, I get it. You know, James has his business. I have mine. He has his clients. I have mine. He has his other outside projects, not specifically related to IBC. The man's got a farm, for instance. I have my other interests outside of IBC per se, be it things that you can do in Texas around real estate and definitely the foundation side of things. There are PhD. Other interests. The dissertation I'm doing, the book I've just done. Yeah. So we operate as independent, autonomous individuals. We have various opportunities to work together, to partner together, all of which we take. But look, if you want to be James's client, you need to contact James Nethery at bankingwithlife.com. If you want to be my client, you can go to GriggsCapitalStrategies.com. If you want to sign up for the private seminar, whether you're a client or not, we'll make that available too. Right? These are separate things. And I know there's a feeling that if you get with one, well, we should just get everything. And no, that's not the case, right? Well, look, we have the annual live, what's becoming an annual meeting. It's not as though we're trying to not share anything with anybody's clients, all right? But we do operate separately. And as much as you don't want to hear your customers come to you and ask you to provide the services to them that somebody else provides, we too have that same predisposition, right? Which I think if people thought it through a little bit, they'd understand. Right.
I love that. Like, legitimate. And early on, you know, Ryan, you know, when we first met, you know, I don't even know how much you even really thought about going into the business of life insurance, you know, education. But, you know, I was very clear up in the beginning, you know, I'm not hiring you. You're not working for me. You are free and independent, and you're going to be your own business. You know, and it's like, and I don't. We can get into that, you know, deeper later. But tell me what the value of that has been. And I'm not trying to get a stroke of the ego or what have you, but the young man has had to do it, right? He has had to do it. Now, have I tried to help and yes, encourage and whatever and all that? I'm just saying that free and independent just meshes with the infinite banking concept, right? This idea of dependency is no. Okay, But let me say this too. He does have, he's busy. There's no bandwidth left. I'm busy. I have no bandwidth left. You know, there's some bandwidth that only, you know, him and I do these different endeavors, you know, together, that maybe you can get a glimpse of, you know, that is not for public consumption. No. And they're rewarding. They're powerful. They're educational. I mean, there's nothing negative about them, in my opinion.
And that's kind of the deal, too. Like, the reason I want to focus on this private seminar, one of them, is that I don't have a lot. I mean, I've got the mechanic series. I've got this podcast. But to my mind, I feel like I don't have something to give to people who aren't my client. And because I've had multiple people come to me and say, if I could do this all over again and I had found you
daily,
I would have went to Ryan or I would have went to Jen. Like, okay, well, thanks. I mean, genuinely, thank you. But I've felt that I've been in a position to say, well, I have nothing to offer that person. And I want to offer something that.
Well, that's not even true. That's a misnomer. You do have something to offer to them. That happens, you know, to you, to me, daily, weekly. You know, it's like, well, I didn't know this. I love the idea, and I got started. I can clearly see that. I would have rather have worked with you. Rather have worked with you, James. You do have something to offer them, because where do you think all this material comes from? All the negativity that, you know, that we're spreading, the fear.
Uncertainty and
doubt and uncertainty. Where do you think it comes from? Do you think we make up these things that we're going to talk about? No, we see them. We see the results of this activity after a year or two on my 9 or 12 foot. I don't know how long the conference table is very long. There are so many documents in there of people coming at my clients, at me, saying, oh, this is wrong and this is what you should do and this is why. And it over and over. I mean, there's piles of it in there. The bandwidth, I want to get to that and I want to share it. And the client only section is where we're going to start. And whenever you're talking about the seminar, you know, Connor and I were just going a little bit deeper yesterday. We talk about this stuff all day long in my office, right? What can be done in the AV and the digital world, how do you expand the bandwidth? You know, you have clients all across the country that came to Banking with Life client only event last year, 132 different people from 25 different states. The year before that, it was 120 or 18 people, I don't really recall, from 20 different states. You know, if everybody could block off that weekend and fly in, that number would quadruple. The people that wanted to attend. Okay, well, they didn't. So now that stuff is recorded, all right? It's not for the general public. It will be for client only, the beginning. But then, speaking of the seminar, bringing in Connor and Justin, my AV, our AV ninjas, that just the idea of a seminar. If you haven't been here and you're welcome to come, just please give us notice. I'm just saying there's a beautiful space here. We're only here because, I mean, I moved over here for the space that we have in the office. What would it be like if you're calling it, that's a title, the private seminar. What would it be like? Just consider the possibility, the idea that Mr. Griggs gave a presentation on a particular subject of whatever he chose and did it in depth, not sitting down here and you know, coming up with topics or ideas on the way down here from the day before. Okay. What would that look like? What would it look like if James Nethery could sit there and do a presentation on what he thought was important, what he wanted to say, and what he thought you might need or consider hearing, right, to have that recorded? Should that live in the live world, you know, whenever you charge people or they have to have skin in the game to travel 5 states away for 3 days, airline tickets, both ways, they bring a guest, the hotel expenditures, all the expense of traveling, right? Once a year. Of course, you get to meet people live. There's a great value there. We have mixers and after party and all of that. There's a live event cannot be replaced in my mind. And a digital presentation or discussion on a particular topic or subject, what would it be like if you had a place to log in, you'd already paid your access fee, whatever that may be, right, and listen to a particular topic in depth, right? I think there's great value there. It is not and cannot live in the free world, right? So beyond our client only section, we are creating, he's just ahead of us, right? He's younger, you know, faster, thinner, some think smarter, and I tend to agree, but it is so, it could be so powerful, more material resources that you can't get elsewhere. And you're not like, it's not like showing up to be a fish in a barrel. So, you know, a third party relationship that we have will pay us gen share, gen revenue, you know, revenue share, you know, to get you to buy something else. You know, it's not like, oh, here's a little tripwire. It's only $50, Ryan, to jump into Locals. But then you get in there and you got the real estate expert that's going to show you how to flip land or whatever it may be, how to do it, how to put together a syndicated deal. You know, and it's only for $2,500. Oh, but then when you buy the $2,500 and you go into the syndicated deal, and I'm just fictitiously making up what I expect might exist out in the big free world, right? Oh, when you get in there, but now to get to the really sweet syndicated deals, now you got to pay $50,000 a year. But you'll have an hour phone call with Ryan every quarter, right? And you'll have all of the people that we work with.
What are you talking about?
Really? The comparison quarterly? Of what it's not. Okay. You're not even listening. You're looking at notes. It's like having a conversation with somebody that's quiet.
You're selling the fire out of it. It sounds great.
I'm just saying that's what I get this stuff. I'm not interested in all of that. I want to be able to go somewhere and learn what I want to learn on my own time. And by God, I want to pay for whatever it is I want. I don't want it free. I don't want you to do me a favor and give it to me. I don't want you to bring me a gift. I want to pay my way to enjoy what I want to enjoy. That's where I'm coming from. And what I'm just saying is not that. That's not what we're talking about. So thanks for letting me share.
You're welcome. We have an example of the type of thing.
Oh, 2 hours into it.
That we might go into further depth on.
No, let's go.
Something like a private platform that we'll talk a little bit about here. So I'll give you a little background, a little story time. I had, and I'm not going to say any names, of course, but I had a colleague who I very much like in this business ask me recently, some months ago, whether I might be able to help out a person he had met. So this friend, a colleague, was discussing this other individual situation. We'll call this other individual Jane. Okay. Talk about Jane's situation.
Jane Doe.
Yeah. So Jane had was a skilled professional and 11 years ago started buying whole life insurance policies that at the time she thought were built for the infinite banking concept.
Okay.
And so she got her first policy with a well-known company. A few years later, on the advice of, or on the at the suggestion of, a name you would all recognize.
Ruh-roh. Would you release something like that behind the wall?
Like the who the agent was?
Yeah, I'm just saying the unnamed individual now. Okay, keep going.
I don't know.
I probably wouldn't either.
Well, let me tell you, because I didn't have direct firsthand experience of the conversation that occurred between Jane and this other advisor. You know, I've heard second and third hand. I have the materials that were at least some, if not all, of the materials that were used in this interaction I'm about to discuss. So I've got something. I've talked directly to Jane. I believe her. I believe what she's telling me happened. But at the end of the day, I don't have direct experience of it. And I'm not too interested in going around being a rat for its own sake. You know, now if there are practices happening that I think you should be aware about, that's kind of what I want to focus on. In some sense, the identity of the particular individual is irrelevant because they're not the only ones doing it. right? And so it's really about identifying the form of the behavior. So maybe the name comes up, maybe not. But anyway, in 2017, 18, somewhere around there, so a few years after Jane had started her first policy, at the suggestion and upon this, what Jane has said was a very powerful and convincing in-person presentation, where there was a third party software. I don't want to use the name of it. You'd recognize it. It's basically a software program where you input certain information about an individual's assets and liabilities and their income and their cash flows and the inflation rate and the tax rate. And then you can make some assumptions about those things in order to then show the change in the value of a particular asset and then fundamentally the change in the individual's financial situation, right? It's meant to illustrate, although we're not talking about a whole life insurance illustration, but it's meant to depict in some aesthetically pleasing way, ostensibly, what all of this is going to do for you, right? It's the kind of...
It does not matter what the software is called. There are so many versions of financial software, whether it's subscription, whether it's online, whether you create your own Excel spreadsheet. The software name doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
But so Jane went to this in-person event in 1718 and enjoyed it so much that she went back and brought her friends. So this was, you know, it was going good at the time. Jane acquired more than one whole life policies at that time. And was encouraged to take a very specific premium payment strategy with respect to those several policies. And here's how the general suggestion went, at least my understanding of it, and which Jane told me directly.
So as you can tell, Ryan and I are having fun, and we've gotten into a flow state that will continue in the last and final part next week. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining us on the Banking with Life podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe and click on that little notification bell. Otherwise, join us on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher for weekly content.